retrouvons l'agenda culturel tout en anglais.
Hello and welcome to Hicksville.
Avec Veronica.
Last week I started telling you about Frank Lloyd Wright, America's greatest architect, the man with the stone-colored hat, who had 6 children by wife number 1. His second and 2 children died in a horrific fire, which burned down one of his other houses, and there was a third wife. He also invented the carport and the infinity pool. Well, Falling Water House was not a disappointment. Perched on a rock in deep woodland, above a waterfall, a series of cantilevered living spaces with very strong Japanese feel. Balconies and terraces painted in his favorite ochre color, with the steelwork in Cherokee red, integrating human architecture and nature, so each would be improved by the other. The windows have no metal frame, so there's nothing to interrupt our view. The rooms have deliberately low ceilings, not because the owners, the Kaufmans, were particularly short, but to encourage everyone to go outside onto the many balconies and open spaces to be part of nature. The guest room did have higher ceilings in case any guests might have been basketball players. The house is designated by the Smithsonian Institute as one of the 28 places in the world that you have to see before you die. What are the other 27, one wonders? It should have cost $35,000, finally cost $148,000 back in 1935. And I can tell you, it doesn't look very comfortable despite the price. Mrs. Kaufman's bedroom had a double bed, or rather two singles pushed together. No lit matrimonial like the French have. Whereas Mr. K, one of America's wealthiest men at the time, was confined to a paltry single bed with a very thin mattress, with presumably occasional visiting rights to his beloved next door. Or perhaps that's why they only had one son. Frank Lloyd Wright designed 1,000 projects in his life, of which 500 were actually built. A second one was just down the road, called the Kentucky Knob, a sleek, low building of slate and stone with a green roof integrating it with the woodland around it. Knob in US English, by the way, means hillock. And that is also where the moon slid across the sun to give us a 90% eclipse. Today I'm coming to you from Prague, now officially the capital of Czechia. Not that its citizens like that at all, and they'll go on referring to their republic among themselves. But 70 years ago, saying what you want would have got you into deep water, as I found out going down into the bunker in the bowels of the iconic Yalta Hotel in Wenceslas Square, built in the 50s in the brutalist post-Stalin style by an architect called Tenzer. The thing is, this hotel was destined to become the Communist Party's unofficial headquarters. Tenzer was not invited to the unveiling of his hotel because he wasn't a card-carrying communist. The hotel served a number of purposes. The rooms designated green were for party officials and any female guests they might want to have there. Yellow rooms were for people who professed loyalty to the party, but nevertheless needed watching. And pink were for foreigners and obvious enemies of the state. In the bunker, which was built in the event of a nuclear attack, where they had enough water to last for a month, along with a medical room and a weapons armory, they had a listening room, with a switchboard operator who would listen into conversations in the pink rooms via microphones hidden in hair brushes. It's pretty funny now, but of course not so back then. It's well worth a visit. And the last thing I learned on this particular visit is that the Prague subway has the longest escalators after Moscow, and nobody attempts to walk up or down. I did 50 steps and had to stop for breath.
Retrouvez Veronica en podcast pour l'agenda culturel tout en anglais.
See you next time.
www.dfm930.com